Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're on page 110, just above the middle, line 202, or line 261. What we are there and here on earth shall be is imaged in a contact and a call. We're in the Book 2, Canto 2, The Kingdom of Subtle Matter. Have you got the place, Paula? Would you like to read? Maybe like Luba.
As yet, growth in perfection is our sphere. Our nature's glass show not our real self. The greatness still abides heaven. Growth, doubting future, hides our heritage. The light now distant shall grow native here. The strength that visits us, our own power. The ineffable shall find a secret voice, the imperishable born through matter's grief, making this mortal body Godhead's role. The spirit's greatness is our timeless source, and it shall be our crown in endless time. A vast unknown is around us and within. All things are wrapped in the dynamic one. A subtle link of union joins all life. Thus, all creation is a single chain. We are not left alone in a closed keep between a driving of inconscient force and
thank you. Sri Aurobindo has been describing the kingdom of subtle matter, the closest of the subtle realms to our own familiar realm of gross matter, as a world which channels to us things from other higher realms and which prefigures our future, what will be realized here on earth. For the time being, as yet, earth's imperfection is our sphere. It's what we are used to. And our nature is a mirror. It's a kind of distorting mirror. It doesn't show what we really are. What we really are, our real self, is a greatness that's still held back within us. He says, Earth's doubting future hides our heritage. Actually, when we human beings look at the world around us and what is happening, the future seems very doubtful, doesn't it? But Sri Aurobindo is assuring us that kept for us is a much greater destiny. The light of consciousness that now seems so far away shall grow native here. It will be thoroughly at home on our earth. Now we may, at blessed moments, feel some inner strength visiting us. That is meant to become our comrade power, our daily companion. The ineffable shall find a secret voice. The ineffable, the presence, the power that cannot be put into words, cannot be expressed in speech. It will be able to speak to us, and we shall hear it. And the imperishable, that presence and power which cannot die, will burn through this screen of matter which presently hides it from us. It will make this mortal body, this body which is subject to death, into a dress for the divinity to wear. This can happen because the Spirit's greatness is our source beyond time, not limited by time. And that Spirit's greatness shall be our crown. It will be the crown of empire that we shall eventually wear in endless time. We just see these material appearances, but a vast unknown is round us and within us. All things are wrapped, enveloped, embraced in the dynamic one, a subtle link of union joins all life. Thus, all creation is a single chain. All the worlds, all the levels, all the planes of existence are connected, links in a chain. And we are not left alone here, cut off in a closed scheme between a driving of inconscient force, the material energy that the physicists have revealed to us, that seems to be at one end of our experience, one limit. And the other limit seems to be that incommunicable absolute above and beyond all this. But we are not just cut off, left alone in this world. Patricia.
Our life is a spur in a sublime soul range. Our being looks beyond its walls of mind, and it communicates with greater worlds. There are brighter earths and wider heavens than ours. There are realms where being breathes in its own depths. It feels in its immense dynamic core, its nameless, unformed, unborn potency, cry for expression in the unshaped vast. Ineffable beyond ignorance and death, the images of everlasting truth look out from a chamber of its self-wrapped soul. As if to its own inner witness gaze, the spirit holds up its mirrored self and moves. The power and passion of its timeless figures of its formless, of its multitudinous mind.
Thank you. Anybody would like to ask anything about this passage?
I have a question about the passage before.
Yes.
About line 278, we are not left alone. And if I understood well, at the same time, Fiona will be saying, I have to do it by myself.
Yes, I think one of the differences between Sri Aurobindo's teaching and Buddhism, for example, is that he doesn't say you have to do it by yourself. He's saying we are connected. Each of us are carrying all these worlds within us. And at the moment, what does he say? As yet, as yet we are here in this limited world of imperfection. But of course we tend to think that we are cut off on our earth, no? That there's just the earth and then goodness knows what else is out there. But here he's saying our life is a spur in a sublime soul range. It's like a range of mountains, and jutting off this range of mountains, there's a spur, or a small hill, which is our life, which is connected with that sublime soul range. And that is why it is possible for us, in our inner being, to look beyond these barriers of surface mind, and we can communicate with greater worlds, subtle physical worlds, vital worlds, all the mental worlds that he's going to describe to us. What did you want to ask me?
So it's like a stimulus or like holes you do this? What kind of?
No, I think it is, for example, in deep meditation, you may get some kind of images or intimations, maybe even a voice, you know, that may be coming from one of these other worlds or these other planes of existence. And those of us who have read The Life Divine together, we will remember that Sri Aurobindo says these other worlds are extremely important to us. Just a subtle physical world is holding the possibilities of our future, the plans even, which are going to be realized on earth in future. From the life worlds and the mind worlds, all kinds of possibilities are coming to us. And in inner concentration, or between one life and another life, we can travel to those worlds and have experiences there and learn from those experiences. Now he's going to speak particularly, of course he mentions these brighter earths and wider heavens than ours. There's a lovely sonnet of Sri Aurobindo, The Other Earths it's called. You might have like to have a look for that. He says, there we can have experiences that can help us to build up our inner bodies, our subtle bodies, our inner growth. But here, particularly, he is pointing out that there are subtle realms where being broods in its own depth, when it's as if deeply indrawn within itself and concentrating there, feeling in its heart, its immense dynamic core of existence, no? It feels its future possibilities, its nameless, unformed, unborn potencies, crying for expression in the unshaped vast. All the things that have not yet been manifested, but are waiting, wanting to be born, in those realms where being broods in its own depths, sees the images of its everlasting truth, which are inexpressible, they are beyond ignorance and death. It's as if those new possibilities look out from a chamber in the very soul of existence, and it plays out those possibilities as if to its own inner witness gaze, as we may sometimes do to our own inner witness gaze. We feel perhaps possibilities or dreams within ourselves, and they pass before our eyes or the eyes of our consciousness. So in the same way, the spirit holds up its mirrored self and works, the power and passion of its timeless heart, the figures of its formless ecstasy, the grandeurs of its multitudinous might. All those possibilities are contained within itself. It becomes aware of them, sees them, and then they come here. That's what comes next. Would you read the next passage, Paula?
Thence comes the mystic substance of our souls into the prodigy of our nature's birth. There is the unfallen height of all we are and dateless fount of all we hope to be. On every plane, the hieractic power, initiate of unspoken verities, dreams to transcribe and make a part of life in its own native style and living tongue, some trait of the perfection of the unborn, some vision seen in the omniscient light, some far tone of the immortal rhapsodist voice, some rapture of the all-creating bliss, some form and plan of the beauty unutterable.
Thank you. What he seems to be saying is that because spirit, the spirit, images all these unrealized possibilities of itself, these images of its everlasting truth, holds those things up to its own consciousness, all these possibilities, power, passion, ecstasy, grandeurs of its multitudinous mind, from there, from that heart of existence, comes the mystic substance of our souls. That is how we have come here. It's come from that realm into this unusual situation, this prodigy of our nature's birth. So there, in that realm, is the unfallen height of all we are, and also the timeless fount of everything we ever hope to be. All our dreams, everything is already contained there in that great source. That's a very great secret which he's sharing with us. Where have we come from? Our souls, our true individuality, has come from that eternal source. And then he tells us that on every plane of existence, the hieratic power, the creative power that keeps everything in order in the universe, that power is an initiate of unspoken verity. She holds the secret of unspoken truths. And she wants to, she dreams to transcribe and make a part of life on each different plane of existence, to make some trait, some characteristic of the perfection of the unborn, some vision seen in the omniscient light, some tone, some note of the immortal rhapsodist voice, which is forever chanting in ecstasy, some rapture of the all-creating bliss, some form and plan of the beauty unutterable. She wants to express each of those things on every plane, to make them a part of life in the native style and living language of each of the planes. So here, on the material plane, she does that in material forms. On the subtle physical plane, she does it in subtler forms. The life plane, she will express these characteristics, these traits, these notes of the immortal, the rhapsodist voice, in different ways on each of the planes of existence. And all these are connected. Everything is a single chain. And now he's working down the chain. At the top is this place where being broods in its own depths. And now we can read on about the next level. Yes, Patricia. From there, from that realm or those realms where being broods in its own depths, from there comes the mystic substance of our souls. That's where we come from. That's our origin.
In that place, the spirit is holding, so these images, in that place.
Yes, yes. Yes.
The images.
That's why each of us is unique, you know?
Yes. The spirit holds up its
images look out from a chamber of the being?
The self-wrapped soul of the essence of being, the essential existence.
The self-wrapped soul. So, I have to think about this a bit.
Well, sometimes perhaps you write poetry. Or, anyway, you go into some kind of deeper state.
Okay,
yes, and you look deep into yourself, and images come, or possibilities emerge, or you think of things that would be just wonderful. On the level of pure being, when the spirit does that, these become some of these possibilities get formed into souls that are then projected to live on the different planes of existence.
There's no sense of limitation or capture or in this, okay.
So that could be an image of the soul which is kind of concentrated in itself.
Yes.
You know, when it goes there, it's psychical. There's like an emergent, kind of, you know, like.
And there's so much richness in the one, no? Everything. And every individual form has been emanated from that one. And there, what does he say? That's the unfallen height of all that we are, each of us as an individual. That's our highest source, and it's also the source of everything that we can ever feel like or wish to be, because that's been coded into us. It's part of our innate existence.
So, when you come across these images in your vision, what do you make of it? You just let it go and observe it, or?
What do you do?
I just watch and wonder.
Yes.
And stay there. I don't know what to do with that.
Yes. Sometimes we do exteriorize them, no? Especially artists do that. Artists of one kind or another. But these images, these possibilities that come to us from deep within, we will tend to live them out in our lives. If not in this life, in future lives. The hope of all we hope to be. We can't realize all our innate potentialities in one life. But the one who's emanated us all is watching all these possibilities, sending them out, watching them grow, enjoying them, and always new ones. So then what happens? Then what happens is that the hieratic power, the conscious force, takes hold of them and decides to manifest them, and they can be manifested on all the different planes. So he's described the source, then he describes these worlds that are nearer than we are to those absolute realms, the truth world. Shall we go on? Yeah. Who would be next? Yes.
Worlds are nearer to those absolute realms where the response to truth is swift and sure, and spirit is not hampered by its failure. And hearts by sharp reason seized and rent, and delight and beauty are inherited, and love and sweetness are the law of life, of finer substance in a subtler mold, embodies the divinity earth but drinks its strength can overtake flows running through. Overleaping the fixed hurdles set by time, the rapid net of an intuitive class captures the fugitive happiness we desire. our nature lifted by a larger breath, flushing and passing to the all-shedding fire, answered the flaming Godhead's casual touch, immune from our inertia of response. It hears the world to which our hearts are deaf, adopts the seeing of immortal eyes, and traveler on the roads of life and youth, pursues the spirit of beauty.
Thank you. So there are worlds that are nearer than our world to those absolute realms. Worlds where the response to truth is swift and sure, and spirit is not hampered by its frame. Here in our world, the free movement of spirit is often hampered and restricted just by the physical substance of our bodies. No.
Mm.
Yes, but the subtle physical plays a special role in that it provides the substance for these different, all these worlds, subtle worlds. Yes. Yes, that is a potential for all of us, yes. We have so many bodies. Mother herself said that she could exteriorize from the physical body into the subtle physical, into the vital, into different levels of mental bodies. 13 times, right up to the borderline of the manifestation. So not all of us can do that. She had a very special consciousness and she had a very special training. She described how this training was given to her by Madame Théon. But it seems to be what he's saying here is that everything that's embodied here, it has come from those highest realms of existence. And so it has a counterpart on every one of the planes, more or less developed. And this is what the Supreme Conscious Force does. It tries to embody those things on each of the planes in its own special way, in its own special language and mode of expression. And I think what Shobindo's preparing to tell us now is that if we come in contact with one of those higher worlds that isn't restricted by the same kind of limitations as our physical plane, then if there's a response from our inner being, we can give some kind of expression to what we have seen on that higher world. And that this is a way, he gives the example here of beauty. If we have some experience of a higher form of beauty and our whole being wants to follow that, that's a very powerful way for our whole being to grow. It means that we are lifted up by a higher nature than just our material earth nature. A nature lifted by a larger breath, not just our ordinary life force, something much more powerful, something that's much more malleable, plastic and passive, it says, to the all-shaping fire. Fire is the element that gives life to form. It responds to the just even a slight touch of that flaming Godhead. That higher nature is immune from our earthly nature's inertia of response. So it can hear words to which our hearts are deaf. But if some part of us adopts that seeing of immortal eyes, that part of us which is immortal, which is a traveller on the roads of line and hue, then it can pursue the spirit of beauty to its home, to its origin. And the next line, which we didn't read yet, says, thus we draw near to the all-wonderful. This is a way of becoming close to the Lord who has manifested all this.
So that what you just are explaining informs this statement that you know, the subtle physical supplies the substance for the forms that are coming from other worlds. This is not...
Yes, we read this, didn't we? Didn't we read this? No, I mean, we didn't read it today. We read it some time back.
Okay, and I missed a
couple. Yes, here, it's at the bottom of page 105. In this subtle world, matter and soul are meeting like lovers in a lonely secret place. And when they join their strength and sweetness and delight, then that's possible for the spirit's leap towards body to touch ground, not in our earthly figure, as yet unwrapped in earthly lineaments. It is already wearing an immortal substance, a covering of its immortality, which is responsive to the luster, to the light of the person, the rank, the development of the person or the being who's wearing it. So this subtle physical stuff is fit to endure the rub of change and time. It doesn't wear out like our bodies. It feels what earthly bodies cannot feel and is more real than this grosser physical form. And when we drop, when we let this physical body go, then that subtle body becomes much lighter. It can rise much higher, and it gets refined to the touch of finer environments. It drops off all this old weighty stuff, cancels the grip of Earth's descending pull of gravity. It bears the soul from world to higher world until in the naked ether of the peaks, the very, very highest levels, the spirit's simplicity alone is left. The eternal being's first transparent robe, the first covering that it puts upon itself. But when it must come back to its mortal load, when it must take an earthly body again, take up the hard ensemble of Earth's experience, then its return resumes that heavier dress. So again, it comes down and puts on various coverings. And the closest one to us is this subtle physical one. And out of this subtle physical, out of its fall, as it comes lower, our denser matter has been made. And this is the way, thus taken was God's plunge into the night. And this fallen world of matter became a nurse of souls inhabited by concealed divinity.
Strength can overtake joy's running feet.
As if joy is always escaping from us, no? And if we are in that subtler body, we can catch it more easily. Yes, it's not limited by time. It says overleaping the fixed hurdles set by time. Hurdles, you know, it's a kind of racing, a running race. You have to leap over hurdles. So hurdles. Time sets up certain obstacles for us, but that subtler body is able to leap over them easily. Let's go on reading. Norman, line 330 on page 112.
Thus we draw near to the all-wonderful, following his rapture in things as sign and guide. Beauty is his footprint, showing us where he has passed. Love is his heartbeats, and his heartbeats rhythm in mortal breasts. Happiness, the smile on his adorable face. A communion of spiritual entities, a genius of creative immanence, makes all creation deeply intimate. A fourth dimension of aesthetic sense, where all is ourselves, where all is in ourselves, ourselves in all. The cosmic wideness realigns our souls. The kingly rapture joins the seer and seer. The craftsman and the craft grown
inly,
one, achieve perfection by the magic throng and passion of their close identity. All that we slowly piece from gathered parts, or by long labor stumbling evolve, is there self-born in its eternal bright.
Thank you. I think that Sri Aurobindo's sharing with us here the way in which true artistic creation comes about. By an actual contact with those subtle worlds where our inner being can directly experience things. And perhaps not all of that gets expressed then in whatever materially we create, what we actually produce from that experience. Will have the limitations of earth. But the experience from which that creative act has come represents a growth in our inner being, which will have future effects. So what he's describing is a wonderful inner experience. But even here, that's what he speaks of next. We can have these experiences without moving to subtle worlds, even here. Would you read, please? In us too.
In us too, the intuitive fire can burn. An agent light that is coiled in our folded hearts. On the celestial levels is its home. Descending, it can bring those heavens here, but rarely burns the flame nor burns the long. Falls from those diviner heights, brings brief magnificent reminiscences and high splendid glimpses of interpreting thought. But not the utter vision and delight. The bait is kept, something is still held back. Lest captives of the beauty and the joy, our souls forget to the highest to aspire.
It's very interesting what he says in those last lines.
You don't be too happy.
Yes. We shouldn't get, he makes sure that we're not carried away too much. So now we've come to the last section of this canto, and we haven't read it yet. So we can just read now to the end of the canto. You would be the next one to read. Will you read?
In that parasubtle realm behind our own, the form is all, and physical gods are things. The inspiring light plays in it in fine boundaries. A faultless beauty comes by nature's grace. Their liberty is perfection's guarantee. Although the absolute image lacks the word incarnate, the sheer spiritual ecstasy. All is a miracle of symmetric charm, a fantasy of perfect life and rule. They are all feel satisfied in themselves and whole. A rich completeness is by limit made. Marvel in an utter littleness abounds. An intricate rapture arrives in a small space. Each rhythm is kin to its environment. Each line is perfect and inevitable. Each object faultlessly built for charm and use. All is enamored of its own delight. Intact, it lives of its perfection sure, in a heaven-pleased, self-led immunity. Content to be, it has need of nothing more.
Thank you. Gita, you read? You read already. Will you read? Yes.
Here was the futile effort's broken heart, exempt from the ordeal and the taste, empty of opposition and of pain. It was the world that could not fear, not feel, nor grieve. It had no grace of terror or defeat. It had no room for fault, no power to fail. Out of some at self-bliss, it drew at once its fond discoveries of the mute idea, and the miracle of its rhythmic thoughts and acts, its clear technique of forms and groundless lives, its gracious people and inanimate shapes, and glory of breathing bodies like our own.
Thank you. Tuan, what do you read?
Amazed, his senses ravished with delight. He moved in a divine yet kindly world, admiring marvelous forms so near to ours, yet perfect like the playthings of a god, deathless in the aspect of mortality. In their narrow and exclusive absolutes, the finites ranked supremacy strong above. It dreams not ever of what might have been. Only in boundaries can this absolute be. In a supremeness bound to its own plan, where all was finished and no widths were left, no space for shadows of the immeasurable, no room for the incalculable's surprise. A captive of its own beauty and ecstasy, in a magic circle wrought the enchanted mind.
Thank you. Marijke.
The spirit stood back, effaced behind its ring, admired for the bright finality of its lines, a blue horizon limited the soul. Thought moved in luminous facilities, the outer ideals shallows its sweet range. Life in its boundaries rigid satisfied with the small happiness of the body's acts. Assigned as force to a bound corner mind, attached to the safe paucity of her room, she did her little works and played and slept and thought not of a greater work undone. Forgetful of her violent past desires, forgetful of the hates to which she rose, her walk was fixed within a radiant groove. The beautiful body of a soul at ease, like one who loves a sweet and sunlit groves, childlike she swung in her gold cradle of joy. The space's call reached not her charmed abode. She had no wings for wide and dangerous flight. She faced no peril of sky or of abyss. She knew no vistas and no mighty dreams, no yearning for her lost infinitudes.
Thank you. Patty.
A perfect picture in a perfect frame. fairy artistry could not keep his will. Only a moment's fine release it gave. A careless hour was spent in a slight bliss. Our spirit tires of being surfaces. Transcended is the splendor of the full. It turns to hidden powers and deeper states. So now he looked beyond for greater light. His soul's peak climb abandoning in its rear, this brilliant courtyard of the House of Days. He left that fine material paradise. His destiny lay beyond, in larger space.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So this last section is a summing up of the characteristics of the kingdom of subtle matter and its limitations, which make it clear that King Aswapati cannot stay there long. Hmm? So let's go back to the break on page 113. Mila, would you read?
In that fair subtle realm, behind her own, the form is old, and physical worlds are king. The inspiring life lays in kind honors. A faultless beauty comes by nature's grace. The liberty is perfection's warranty. Although the absolute image lacks the word incarnate, the seer speaks with ecstasy. All is a miracle of symmetric charm. A fantasy of perfect line and rule. There all feel satisfied in themselves and whole. A rich completeness is their limit made. Matter in an utter littleness abounds. An easy gate rupture riots in a small space. Each rhythm is keen to its environment. Each line is perfect and inevitable. Each object faultlessly built by for charm and use.
Thank you. Anybody would like to ask anything about those lines? The physical gods, yes. The gods of substance and form. This is subtle physical, but still it's form and substance. The form is all.
Sure.
Yes?
It's kind of about the canto as a whole, but then in relation to this last section.
Yes.
Talking about all of the subtle worlds on the one hand, and I think he's talked about that throughout the canto up till this point. And then I think he talks about one level within that that's closest to our realm. So in this last section, I think he's talking about that.
Yes.
So that's a little different than all these other worlds.
Well, he starts off describing really the kingdom of subtle matter, doesn't he? And this is that's the place where there are the perfect plans on all which everything here is molded, no? It starts out like that. And then he speaks about that this is the place where matter and soul come together and prepare the earth nature. And then he speaks about, at the bottom of page 105, we had a look at it, the way that subtle matter provides all these bodies, but they're more refined depending on the level. But then again, he goes back to this level nearest to our own, from which, out of its fall, our denser matter came. And then he explains that whole problem of the weight of earth matter and what that means for us. But then I think you are right that here in the middle of page 108, He speaks about all our higher possibilities, and he speaks about the other realms with which the subtle material world connects us. And that realm where being broods in its own depths, that's obviously at the very source of the manifestation. So he's showing that all these things are connected. And as I think I mentioned last time, and it must have been published in one of the issues of Invocation, we once had a talk by Debashish Banerjee, who connected this whole canto with the Indian traditional way of thinking about art and artistic creation and how that happens. I'm not an expert to speak about that, but Kittu Reddy told us something similar. That
you can find it on YouTube, the talk.
That talk of Ashish Banerjee, yes. You'll get it, yes. And Kituda had pointed out to us a text which described this process. Yeah. About the traditional process of creating a work of art according to the Indian theory. You don't just create it out of nothing. You get some inspiration that's come from another world, and then your task is to bring that, and depending on your skill, your technique, your devotion, you will be able to receive that intuition and give it a form. But even that form, however perfect it is, I think that comes here, no? The real artist feels that, oh, too little of what was meant has been realized. But anyway, that's why the artist and even the artisan, the skillful craftsman, they are regarded with a certain respect because they are expressing a divine power through their work. So, of course, if we come in contact with that beautiful subtle physical world, we may be just carried away with delight and wish to stay there forever. But King Aswapati knows that he's looking for something else. And this...
Is actually now there, in this subtle physical world, to prepare anything. It's an enormous important realm.
It's the link between all the planes of existence and our own. Yes.
It's the start, but also the end.
We will see in book 11 that many of our great forefathers have gone much further. But Sri Aurobindo has decided to stay close to us,
to
continue his work for the earth. Yes. Shall we stop there for today?
Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.